Well, hello, everybody. I'm Doug.
And I'm Scott L.
And Scott L's remoting. Ha ha ha, this is Ghostly Talk.
Temporarily remoting right now.
You're what?
I'm temporarily remoting right now.
Yes, you are remoting through the GT phone.
Yeah, I left the mic at home. I'm alone right now. I'll be there in about 10 minutes, probably.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I know about trips. I know about traveling, because I just got back from a four-day event, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's going to be the meat of what we're talking about on Ghostly Talk tonight. It's going to be most of it. That we're going to mess around. We also have in the studio Karma. You'll have to bend over because we're sort of mic-less here, so.
I'm going down. Hi, guys.
So Karma's in the studio as well, and Will is here. Will's going to be talking to us as well. We're going to be talking about our trip. And Will and I went. You guys stayed and did promos and stuff, right? Yeah, you guys did all kinds of work. And, yeah, Scott, tell me what was your week, what was your last 4 days like?
My last 4 days.
Yep.
I'm still in jail right now. I'm in bad shape, dude. It was pretty crazy, actually. We played last night. Karma showed up late to the show.
Oh, you ratted her out. So you were late for the show.
I mean, after 5 o'clock in the morning, too.
Running down at after hours.
Oh.
I was so mad.
I heard you guys didn't get in trouble for it, though, because they had previously gotten in trouble for it.
Yeah.
So that worked out really well. You guys stayed out of jail. I like that part. Because I don't know if I'd want to do this alone. I could do it, but it wouldn't be fun. Not
I happy it didn't happen anyways, because I probably would still be in bed right now. And that would have been, you would probably be still talking alone. But before I get in a car accident, I'm going to get off the phone here, okay?
Excellent. Well, thanks for hanging out remote with us.
Yeah, I'll be there in about 5-10 minutes.
All right, we'll talk to you then.
All right, thanks, later.
Cool, later. Nope, the other one, Carm. Yep, there it is. Okay, now, so grab that
microphone. I get a mic.
Yes, you get a microphone now. So, yeah, we're kind of, you know, two mics shy tonight. but yeah, so I was out and about. We went up to the northern lower peninsula. Near Higgins Lake. It was the nearest city was called Roscommon. And we hunted down a ghost town, a real Michigan ghost town called Perchaney.
Why is it a ghost town? What happened?
Well, what happens is a ghost town isn't necessarily like infested with ghosts, for example. What a ghost town is it's a city. It was a thriving city, in this case a lumbering city. They had lumberjacks and things like that in their families, and when milling was very important, and well, milling is still pretty important, but when milling was very important and they had all these communities of lumberjacks getting the timber for the milling, they a lot of different places sprung up, and this happens to be right along a railroad track, which of course was extremely important before the highway system
or a river usually.
Yeah, or rivers, and this one was. Well, this was near Higgins Lake. It was near the railroad. So what happens is, after a while, they had a diphtheria epidemic, and a lot of the townsfolk died. They passed away. They succumbed to diphtheria, and so they just never went ahead and built it up again. It just stayed like that. Finally, they burned the entire town, to try and contain the epidemic. So it was, a sad story. All that's left are these depressions, pretty much, in the earth. What?
I think we have a call.
Oh, well, answer it. Let's see who's on.
Okay.
Nope, the other one. Yep. No, that's not a call.
False alarm. It might have been a ghost.
Oh, well, you never know. Haunted basement and all.
But back to your story.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. So it was really awesome. It was really awesome because we went up there Thursday during the day, and oh my gosh. Well, first of all, the plans had changed about 10, 20, maybe 30 times. Like don't all plans change like that?
If you're me, they do.
Yeah. And it ended up being that Will was going to come over to my house, and they were gonna, everybody was gonna come get me. Is that how it ended up happening? I don't even remember. But
it changed so much, you don't
remember. Yeah, I don't remember what actually happened now. But so I was riding up there with Bonnie. Bonnie, by the way, is in the chat room. We changed the chat room name has changed, you guys. If you want, you can go. Is it on the ZPR radio site still? The chat room.
Yes, it is. The Java chat is.
Okay. So if you go to ZPRradio.com, although I hear this is the last night of that, if you go to ZPRradio.com, there's a link to chat. And get in the chat room with everybody. It puts you into a different chat room. It used to put you into a chat room called #0.radio, but they're changing all that around, and it's going to be #ROLO radio, R-O-L-O radio. So it'll put you in a different chat room, but there's all kinds of people in there. I can only see a few of them because I'm looking across my screen. Of course, Will and I are in there, and Lakota's in there, and LF Midwood's in there, and... Lisa of Michigan Ghostbusters is in there. Max, of course, he does a couple of different radio shows. Phobos is in there. Our Friends is in there. Rich, Runamuck, Sloppy, and Spelly, yo, is in there. And I got to talk to Spelly once on the phone. Yeah. So.
What's he like?
She went to the beach, and she called me from the beach. I mean, is that cool or what?
And what beach was that?
Oh, I don't know. I know that it was completely different weather than here, so I imagine it was probably like in California or something.
Oh, I love
yeah.
California.
So, but yeah, she called me from the beach. It was so cool. So anyway, get in the chat room if you can. ZPRradio.com, although that link is going to change, and click on the chat and get in the chat room. Okay, so we go up there. It's this long, long, long drive. And we had so much fun. I rode with, the fun started out right away pretty much, because I rode with Bonnie and Adam and Jeanette. And what's funny about that, or what's embarrassing about that, is that Adam was sleeping when I got in the car. And then he woke up, and he was in the back seat. I was in the front seat. So he asked Jeanette, he's like, Jeanette, is Grandpa in here? Is that Grandpa? I'm not kidding. He thought I was Grandpa. But see, he could only see the back of me, and I have short hair now. So, you know, he probably thought I was Grandpa.
Did you feel old?
I did. I felt really old. But Adam was so cute. I couldn't, you know, hold a grudge because he was absolutely adorable.
Kids
so,
will say the darndest things.
They do. And I don't know if Jeanette and Adam listen to Ghostly Talk, but if they do, hey... I know Bonnie is listening because she's in the chat room. So, hey, Bonnie. And so, yeah, we all drove up to Roscommon.
Did you get to talk to any of the locals up there and find out anything, like, if there is ghosts?
Are you kidding? Of course we did.
Okay. What did you find out?
Well, that was actually a couple nights from then. Let's start with how it was first. We get up there, and it was raining. We have tents. So we were going to camp in the backyard of Lisa's family. Well, Lisa's, you know, husband's family, they have property up there. We're going to camp there. We go up there. It's raining. I mean, you know, it was just spittering rain at first. But it was raining and cold. So it's like, okay, middle of July, or, well, beginning of July, toward the middle of July, and it was cold and raining.
Typical weather for up
because
there, though.
Because it was our trip. That's why. I mean, I think the, you know, they must have like said, oh, the Michigan Ghostbusters are going up here, so we'll have to, you know, do whatever, you know, rain dance we need to do, and, you know, really get them
and
off to a good start.
They're going to get soggy.
But we had, yeah, so we set up the tents in the spattering rain, and then we ended up, Will, tell us some stuff. Come over here and help me. we're a little short on microphones, so we're going to share them. But I want you to get in on this because you also were there. So you didn't ride with me, though. You rode with Lisa.
Yeah.
What else?
Basically, it was raining when we got there. We got the tents up, and then it really started raining.
Yeah.
It rained all night. My side of the tent stayed dry, but unfortunately, Bonnie and Jeanette and Adam got soaked. Oh, well. Plus, it wasn't me.
Night two, by the way, nobody slept in Bonnie, Jeanette, and Adam's side of the tent. Adam and Jeanette slept in the truck, and Bonnie slept in Will's side of the tent. And so night two, everyone avoided the wet side of the tent.
Well, after that, the rain did stop, thank God. Mm-hmm. But and it was sunny and nice for us the time. It did get a little cold last night, though.
But the first night, we basically were set up.
Yeah, that was just set up.
Yeah. And then
Friday we went to the lodge.
Yeah. Well, talk about the lodge.
The lodge, supposedly in cabin 6, there was a murder. Some guys were playing poker, and one guy cheated, or supposedly cheated. The other guy got pissed and pulled out his pistol and killed him. Shot him dead right there.
What, do you know what year that was in?
I don't remember. Help Bonnie, help Lisa. I don't remember if we said a year or not.
Sounds like a Western story.
Old West?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not helping.
They're not helping us. Well, there's a delay.
Right,
you
yeah.
Well,
okay, so you brought us up to the lodge, right? What we did, so, okay, that was Thursday night that we set up camp. Friday is when we went out to this lodge. We had to meet them at noon. So about 12:30-ish, we left. And we showed up at this lodge. It's called the Wyandotte Lodge. And the fellow was extremely interesting because we got to talk with him about that murder in Cabin 6. What's interesting is that there's a whole history to the lodge. And it's actually a very, very attractive place. Is that somebody on the phone? Is it flashing?
Yeah, it was. Do you want me to answer it?
Well, if it doesn't flash, don't answer it. If it does...
Yeah, it was flashing, but it's not no more.
Oh, then it'll just be a dial tone. So we go to the... I wonder if that was, like, you know, Bonnie or Lisa. Anyway, what happens is we went to this lodge. We talked to the lodge keeper, and he showed us around, and it was pretty cool. We ended up, you know, talking with him for a good, what, hour and a half?
Yeah.
2 hours? Something like that. And we also made arrangements for him to meet us out at Parashaney Cemetery for the next night. So we were, like, you know, rocking. We got a new mic. You need to unplug this.
Scott L. is in the house.
And plug that into line 4. Cool. Now, here's what we got. This lodge is absolutely gorgeous. Okay, bear with for a second.
Technical.
Let me do this. Scott, you talk for a minute.
Uh-oh. How you doing? Carmen, you talk.
Go on.
Yeah, we're having technical difficulties right now, but...
Hi, everybody. I'm off the road.
Uh-huh. Ah, Scott.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah, I can.
I hear ya.
I hear
you. You in the house. They were over there.
No, they were behind you.
Oh, all
right. So what's up?
Cost of living.
Oh, okay, cool.
There you go.
Okay, I'm back. Oh, now this feels so much better. I feel so bare without my headphones on. Oh, my God.
Well, I kept them toasty warm for you.
Thank you. Yeah, you know what? That's like, oh, no, that'd be a bad analogy.
That's kind of gross. Let's not talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, okay.
What did I miss?
I was describing our trip, how I rode with Fonny and Jeanette and Adam up north, and Adam called me Grandpa. And then I... that started it out, you know, and from there it just got even more fun because we ended up, you know, getting there, setting up the tents in the rain, and then the next day we went to the Wyandotte Lodge and talked with the lodge keeper about Cabin 6. There was a murder in it, a documented murder, and so we talked about that for quite a while. We also got a tour of the property, a tour of the lodge itself. And it overlooks the river.
Okay.
The river actually comes up almost to the back of the lodge, and they've got a deck on the lodge now. Absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And it is just an incredible place. there have been reports in this lodge of people feeling like they've are you know, with a woman, right? That there's a woman wandering around every so often.
You got to pay extra for that, right?
I think so. No, that's the other lodge down the street with the red light. Yeah. No, this there's what had happened was the owners, you know, when it was a big, you know, a big thing, the owner lady, before she passed away, she had taken a lot of the timber,
okay,
that her family had, you know, gotten out of the woods.
We have a call coming in.
Oh, okay. Let's do this. Go ahead. Hey, you're on Ghostly Talk. What up?
Hey, I was wondering, is there any chance to talk to Doug?
This is Doug.
Doug, this is Mark from the Hell Candidates.
Oh, yeah, he seems to call in. Yeah,
oh,
right.
That totally rocks. Hey, Mark.
How you guys doing?
Great. Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Scott's here as well, so is Karma.
Hey, man. Well, you know, did you get my email?
I don't know.
I got it last night, and I replied to you and said, yeah, I told you to call in anytime you wanted. I don't know if you got that or not from me personally.
Actually, I did get that.
Okay, good, yeah. Yeah.
I won before that about the thing I wanted to do with the ZPR benefit.
No, I didn't get anything like that.
No. What we're doing, though, is I hear ZPR is going off the air, and they're going to make a new radio station called Rolo or something.
Oh.
R-O-L-O, Rolo Radio.
Wow.
That's still up in the air. So what it's doing is it's basically changing headquarters from Texas over to England. Isn't that cool?
That's really cool. I love England. I've been there several times. In fact, that's where I want to live in this world when I can do that. That's a beautiful place.
Well, I got contacts over there.
Yeah, we got hookups in England now.
Yeah, we got contacts in England. So if you wanted to go, if you needed to go over there for business or something to write it off.
Well, Mark, what was your idea anyways? Let's hear it, you know?
What I wanted to do, what I had gone over with Mr. Burns over there, was I wanted to come to the great state of Michigan, come there to the Motor City, play with my favorite plaid straitjacket.
Well, they suck. You don't want to play with them. They're terrible, Mark. You don't. That band is horrible, man.
Come on.
I'm just kidding.
Not true.
They got booed.
We didn't get booed. No. Who said that?
It was just karma booing.
We get to a club. We hook it up on webcam. We broadcast it live over the internet. I bring Clyde Lewis from Ground Zero down there. We do Ground Zero live, and we do a benefit, man.
Dude, I'll tell you right now, man, let's do that. Let's do that. That sounds like a great idea.
I'm serious.
Yeah,
I've already done all the groundwork here. Me and my partner in crime, the vocalist for the Hell Candidates, Jan Bennett, we were just sitting here going through all that. I think bringing Clyde out there, doing Ground Zero live, man, Doug.
No, that would be hot.
I would actually get to meet Jan.
Yeah.
To actually meet Jan.
I'm for it. Then I'm for it. That's it. I'm in. Sign me up.
No, you guys, by the way, no, I have to say, I've been to your site, and I downloaded every clip you guys have up there, and I got to say, you guys just rocked the hell out of me, dude. Your band just...
Hey, well, we love going in the studio, but, man, we're a live band, and
yeah,
we love playing live, and I think... I'd love to get over there.
Yeah, no, that sounds really great. I mean, yeah, MFPS would be, we would play for sure. We'd love to do something like that. So definitely, what you can do, contact me if you want, Scott L. at Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
And we can get everything hooked up if you want as far as the planning and getting the club booked and all that good stuff, you know?
Hey, you guys are totally into this.
Heck yeah, man. Absolutely.
Oh, I think we should do it then. You know, Clyde's totally into it.
I'd love to meet Clyde, too, so, you know.
What's that?
I'd love to meet Clyde, too. I know Doug would also himself.
Well, I could
see Clyde's totally cool. We've become really good friends over the last couple of years, and he's quite a character, too. He's fun to be with. So which one of you guys wanted to meet Jan?
Me, Doug.
Doug? Oh, yeah. Here, Doug, say hi to her.
Hi, Jan. I'm Doug of Ghostly Talk.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing real fine. It's Doug?
Yep, I'm Doug.
All right.
It's
nice to meet you.
This is so cool.
Oh, man, thank you so much for all that you've been doing.
You guys are...
Oh, my God, I just can't believe it.
You guys are thinking of coming to Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I would love to come.
The Detroit music scene. You know, Detroit is, after all, you know, it's the Motor City, of course, but it also Motown.
Motown.
Motown, you know, Motown
hey,
Records.
All right.
And
can't wait.
And so we so Detroit has a very rich music history.
Hi, Jan.
And,
how you doing?
Oh.
I'm Scott L., Jan.
Oh, hi, Scott.
How you doing?
Yeah, that's what I hear. I'm real excited to see the scene over there, and you know.
You guys are going to just set the place on fire. You guys are just going to set the place on fire, though, man.
I know.
You guys, I've seen your live clips, and I'm like, my God, these flames are like. Can I ask you guys seriously? Real quick, do you guys have a lot of problems with like fire marshals doing your shows? Because you guys, I mean, I've never seen a band do what you guys do besides, like, well, I have to say Kiss, basically, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't used to have a problem
until Great White.
they kind of screwed that up for us, but we can't wait to get back into that. Definitely,
well,
it's gonna. It's going to boil over, and it'll be gone, and we'll get to do our thing again. Yeah, we love that. That's part of what we do.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I happen to know if Jim's listening.
we have a fireman on. We have a fireman on staff for you guys.
A fireman, yes. So we'll bring him to the show.
Yeah.
Oh, a fireman?
We'll just park a fire truck out front. That'll be great promo, you know what I mean?
Oh, it would be awesome.
Yes. The Hell Candidates are here. Well, we have to have the fire department.
Yeah, anybody, for the listening audience, go to www.hellcandidates.com. Doug, help me.
It's www.hellcandidates.com.
Yeah, go to their website. Check out their clips. Check out their music. The band rocks.
And they just did a thing, it was Clyde Lewis. It was a theme song kind of thing about Ground Zero.
Yes.
And it debuted live worldwide via Zero Point Radio and via the, you know, the Clyde Lewis's KOTK's streaming. It debuted on Clyde Lewis's Ground Zero show.
Yeah.
Right, I mean.
We actually wrote that song because he requested a song for his show, so it's actually called Ground Zero, and he fell in love with it, and it's great.
Awesome stuff.
I got a question for Mark, too.
Okay.
This is so cool. This is too cool you guys called in, man.
Oh, well.
I have a question for Mark, though.
What's up, gentlemen? Oh, there we are. Okay. Cool.
What year is... You have that Explorer that gets an Explorer. What year is that again?
1978.
What color is that? The pictures are kind of hard to see the color. What color is that, though?
An off-white cream color.
Oh, I just saw one of those today at the guitar shop, and I thought about you.
Certain instruments, just like certain cars, I mean, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
They get, they're at that exotic level, you know, they're beautiful instruments, and that's how I feel about...
You gotta see Mark.
That axe, I mean, it's like a Lamborghini Diablo, you know?
That is like the primo guitar. You have to see this guitar, Doug, that Mark plays on. This is a classic piece of wood right here. I saw it, I'm like, oh my God. That's why I think I emailed you or talked to you on AIMs or something
talk,
like that.
Yeah.
And I asked you about that guitar and asked you if that was a real Gibson Explorer. You said, yeah. I'm like, whoa, that's a
yeah, so I don't even like bringing it out of the house, but I'll bring that puppy to Michigan.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Are you going to let me touch it? Can I just touch it?
And butter it. Beautiful.
Just let me touch it one time, because, I mean, that's like meeting a celebrity right there.
Look at all you want, man.
That's great. We will definitely do that.
Yeah, let's do the emails. Let's do the things we got to do to get that happening.
And I can do the footwork here in Detroit for you guys. We can get the show booked and all that stuff here. On my end, and if we just keep in contact, it'll happen for sure.
And you know, I've already talked with Clyde, and like I say, this isn't just blowing smoke, you guys. I am dead effing serious. I want this to go down. I'd love to get there, and you know, just anything to keep you guys on the air, keep what you're doing happening. I think it's important. It's about freedom of speech. It's about us. It's about you. It needs to happen.
No, I agree.
Well, we'll have to charge double the cover only because. A U.S. dollar is worth a little bit less than a pound, a British pound.
Oh, actually, I mean, I've been to London. One time I was in London when the pound was, the dollar was only worth 48 cents. That
oh,
was rough.
Man.
Now I think it's doing a little better than that. I was there during the millennium at the Millennium Party, and I think it was about, you know, the dollar was worth about 57 cents. So that was a little easier to breathe. But
yeah.
London is expensive. It's rough staying there for a long period of time. They got lots of dough.
Well, it they only serve fish and chips there too, right?
Yeah, you can get that really cheap. On fish and chips, you're fine. They just eat crackers and bland. Because the food in London has got to be the most atrocious crap.
I have to agree. I know Phobos is probably going to like cut our feed now.
He's cutting the stream.
He's cutting our feed right now, yeah. But that's okay, you know.
Exactly.
But no, well, like shepherd's pie, for example.
Yeah, but you know, they get, you know, because
like
of its
liver
history, when it's just like in Scotland, you know, they eat haggis and they
Oh,
and this is our staple food. Well, no, that's they ate that when they were poor and starving, so they just, you know, fried the guts up and then made blood in the gravy. Whereas, you know, tourists going, oh, this is great, and you see the locals laughing at it. Oh, you stupid fool, you fell for it. That's a blood pudding and
that, blood pudding.
God, it's just disgusting and foul. So I always pack food when I go.
Speaking of wild regional kinds of foods, what'd you say, Karma?
I said we have White Castles.
Do you have White Castles out there in Oregon, right?
Have what now?
White Castle.
White Castle?
What's that?
Oh, you never had White Castle?
Oh,
man.
Rat burgers.
Rat burgers.
They're rat burgers, man.
They're
gut. Dad, I have pet rats.
These are gut busters.
You eat about 15 of these things in a row, man. You're gone for like 2 days.
Uh huh.
You can't move. We'll take you to White Castle when you guys come out here.
Sit on the throne for 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
eat anything. I guess I'll try it once. Hell.
Yeah, we'll definitely do this. Like I said, fire us an email after the show or sometime, whatever you guys feel like it.
As soon as possible, yeah.
And we'll start getting this lined up because, that sounds like a great thing. We'll get, it'll be you guys. We can get MFPS and maybe another local band from around here to play the show, too, to open it up. And you guys can just go and do your thing along with us. It'll be great.
Thank you guys. I think it's, and thank you for, you know, okaying this idea, and I'm looking forward to it. We've already got some logistics laid down. We'll keep in contact, and we'll make this thing happen.
Yeah, I think hit me, and I'll start getting, I can probably get the club booked. Did you guys have a club in mind here, possibly, or?
I don't. I was kind of hoping you guys would help out on that end.
That's not a problem. I can take care of all that. Don't worry about it.
Sounds killer. I'm getting everything lined up here, getting the five of us, the four band, and getting Clyde's ass on a plane, and getting down there, and I just want to rock in Detroit.
Yeah, yeah. It's the only place to play.
Or the city.
It's an awesome scene here.
Well, there's
awesome.
There's no band like you guys here in Detroit either, so if you guys come out here, you're just going to blow these kids out of the club. I guarantee you that, too.
And
so,
I can't wait.
Yeah, we're going
to do it. Got to do it, and I'm dying to meet you guys, too. I love what you're doing, man. And Doug, I just want to final note. I just want to say, way to take the ball in the hands, man, and the way you know with all that's happened to ZPR and taking care of business, man. Hats off to you.
Well, we're working on it. We're going to try and stabilize things and make things smooth for the future and get it back rolling and hopefully let it take off. Like you said, it's about freedom of expression. It's about our freedom. It's about the world. It's about making the world smaller, bringing the world together a little bit.
Well, and giving another, people another option, rather than the basic media that the United States is controlled by. It's about, what the station brings. It brings new thought. It brings more ideas. It gives some people something else to think about rather than just having something crammed down their throat. It's great.
Well, it's better listening to Budweiser commercials every 5 minutes anyways,
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Tell me about it.
Well, I'll let you go because I'm probably taking up all your time.
Oh, not a problem.
Hey,
anytime.
I got one more question before you leave. I'm sorry.
I'm in no hurry. What's up?
How tall is your drummer, if I may ask?
How tall?
Yeah.
6'6".
The guy's a beast.
Yeah.
The guy listens. He does the rock thing behind his drums with the sticks and cross them over.
Yeah.
And it's like he owns that drum set. I mean, you can tell that drum set. He controls that drum set. There's some people that sit behind a drum set and you don't see them very much. You know what I mean? This gentleman owns that drum set. He's on top of that drum kit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, how cool!
He's a great drummer, and it's after a while, it's entertaining. You got to entertain people. There's so many bands today that don't, and America's slipping. We got a horrible economy. If the kid's going to come out and pay $5, $8, whatever to see you, well then let's entertain these people.
Exactly. That's what MFPS does too.
And, you know, these bands that are shoe stares and think that the crowd owes them, well, they need to get flushed, because that's not what should happen, man. If someone's gracious enough to come out and see the band and support it and help the club and the scene, well, let's entertain those people.
And that band's got to put on 150% every minute they're up there, too.
Please. You know, that's what we chose to do, so let's not back out on it, man. If we're going to get on stage, we got to prove we deserve to be there.
Yeah, our bands belong on a show together. Let's do this.
And we're going to do it.
We're going to do this, definitely. Get a hold of us after the show, and we will talk about this and start getting everything planned.
All right, Scott L., Doug, thank you. It's been great talking to you guys, and I'm going to keep in touch immediately.
Call anytime, Mark.
Excellent.
All right, Jan says goodbye.
Bye,
Jan. We'll
y'all
see you.
Take care.
Take care of yourself.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. That's the kind of call I needed today. That's all I can
say. I know, Doug's away. He's going to go all night now.
I came home after the 4 days. You were
burnt?
And everything, yeah, I was burnt from that, and then everything was an interesting uproar.
Yeah.
And we're still unsure about a lot of stuff. But, you know, as far as ZPR / Rolo Radio or whatever it's going to be called, we're still unsure about a lot of stuff. I'm going to be talking to you know, our England contacts. You know, right after Ghostly Talk. So with all the stuff up in the air, to get a call like that with such overwhelming support of internet radio, of, you know, not only Ghostly Talk, but also Ground Zero
of
and
art,
paranormal radio.
Of art. Exactly,
yeah.
You know.
I needed
that. I got that email when I got home last night at 5:15 in the morning.
Way to go, Carlo.
No, it was my fault more. We decided to get we were both starting.
You're not Cinderella, you know.
Yeah, you didn't have a you weren't turning into a pumpkin, were you?
How do you know? No, I got home and the email concerning he asked you know, if he could call in. And I emailed and said, yeah. Can you call in? Please call in. So I emailed him back. But yeah, that sounds like a plan. I mean, as far as wrapping this whole conglomerate of media we got going anyways, between me and you.
this is it. This is underground media.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is grassroots media here. Ghostly Talk.
Mm-hmm.
All the shows that were on ZPR.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ground Zero, of course, is professional. We could only hope to live up to Ground Zero. But the thing is, the other ones are, even Ground Zero to a point, it's the things that need to get out there, the things that need to be said, the things that need to be done. And the only people that do them aren't, you know, the excruciatingly popular, you know, people with a TV, you know, TV contract and that kind of thing. It's going to be the people.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the people. I was just out ghost hunting for 4 days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we're in here doing this. You're in the music scene in Detroit.
Yeah.
And we
both know for a fact, I know every day of my life when I wake up in the morning, that I find myself getting more and more sick of, I don't want to say the word mainstream, but corporate-run radio stations, corporate-run TV stations, corporate-run labels, corporate-run this, corporate-run that. Because all they're doing is, I mean, I know in Detroit, for example, as far as, let's just say music, for example, people are always fighting to get local music played on these giant radio stations, which I'm not going to name any off, but people are signing petitions right now to have local music play on these radio stations. What they do not understand is that they're corporate run. Those corporations feed down the playlists to these smaller radio stations
that are
owned by them.
Yes.
And no matter what you do, as much as you fight it, the corporation's always going to fight you. But there's another way to get around that. There's another way to get around that, though, and that's what we're doing right here. Well, as far as talk radio goes, but as far, I mean, I hate to plug it, I'm, you know, but the new show I just launched off, Cyberstop Radio, that is the alternative. I mean, I'm playing music from bands from all over the world right now, but my plan for that is to start bringing in people from Detroit, bands from Detroit, playing their music on there also, and getting the word out for those guys also.
And giving them the like credit they deserve.
Well, exactly,
you know?
Yeah. There's some. I mean, we all know that there are amazing artists from Detroit alone, along with the rest of the country.
Well,
every
city. I mean, we just talked to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, and that's a hell candidate.
With the hell candidates, they, you know, Portland is excruciatingly fortunate. So yeah. You have the hell candidates. Detroit is excruciatingly fortunate.
I'm afraid to play with them, honestly. I'm afraid to play with them because I don't want to be able to follow that stuff up.
Yeah?
Have you been to the site?
Put them after you guys, though.
No. we're going to burn the stage down.
If
we're going to be able to play.
Then you won't get to play. Yeah. Okay.
We should have like a little secondary stage set up in case something happens.
Yeah.
Well, we'll try to get the fire people out there, you know, and have them all like standing around with extinguishers.
Well,
and
they
stuff.
Can hose down the crowd, too, because I'm sure they'll get hot and sweaty.
If we can get them out here early enough, like before the summer ends when the weather's still nice, we might be able to do something outside.
Oh, that like was, Freedom Hill kind
and,
of thing.
And we can
whatever.
Set the place on fire.
Yeah,
then. We'll just do it in the woods.
I wonder.
Yeah, we can try to work with Freedom Hill. That's very, very difficult.
Pricey.
Yeah, they go through Ticketmaster and all that stuff. Well, we'll have to talk about that.
We'll
all
talk
right,
about
I'll tell you what.
Let's take a break.
Let's go on break. Somebody didn't. Oh, that's where I go from. Good.
Ooh,
I'll get
the fingers around the table. Great.
You. No. Let's go to break. We'll be back with more Ghostly Talk. We'll be talking about our trip up north.
Yes.
Finding Pear Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
Stagehand Toolbox can accommodate any task, whether you're building a stage or bringing down a haunted house.
Stagehand Tools.
For all your industry needs, we have, for example, EMP pouch, radio pouch, tape measure holders, mailbags, and numerous flashlight accessories. Just go to
www.stagehandtools.com
and see all the cool stuff that Stagehand Tools has for you.
www.stagehandtools.com.
We know where to stick it.
Oh, you just shut your door.
studio is abuzz.
Yeah, yeah.
We are abuzz. We are just chatterboxes today.
You know, change is a funny thing because it does that to you.
Yeah.
Sometimes things, when things end, it's a sad time. But obviously, it's also a time of rebirth for certain things.
And new beginnings.
And new beginnings and new opportunities.
You say that. You stole that out of my brain.
this is it. I mean, this is a new beginning, and you're right.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things going on here. A lot of people that were standing in the background before, such as myself, are putting the foot forward to get involved now, too, as far as the backbone of what's going on.
Yeah.
That's an important thing, too.
Well.
But, you know, that's.
What is going on?
Everything.
What isn't going on is a shorter list.
My pair of pants I had from last year is not going on.
I have to admit, I tried on a pair of shorts from last year. Didn't take them camping because it wasn't going to go on but one leg. And I'm like, that's enough of that.
Well, okay. We've been talking about rock and roll and all this other cool stuff. We want to talk about your guys' trip.
Yes. And we did indeed go on that trip.
Yeah.
We went up on that trip. The second day we went to that lodge,
mm-hmm.
and talked with the lodge keeper about the stories behind just that property. What I was saying is the lady that was the matriarch of the family that owned that area, you know, they owned like the entire area
yeah.
for a while. And they controlled the lumbering in that area. What happened is she had saved off a lot of the timber, saved it.
Okay.
What the new lodge keeper did is he got the stash of timber and he created the newer. It's a new lodge now. I mean, it's in the same design and everything, but it's he did a lot of the work on like the decking or the outside, because it looks like a big log cabin / lodge. I mean, it's a lodge. It's huge, but it's
yeah.
And he used the original timber. Because now the timber that's up there, you know, that's like, you know, second cut timber or whatever. Because that's you know, there was the timber that was here when settlers came, right?
Yeah.
That's the good stuff, right? It's like, you know, fine scotch, you know, you remember that date. And that's the good stuff. That's the big stuff. This stuff was all grown after the stuff they're getting out of Michigan now is the stuff that was, you know, it had been cleared away, and then, you know, they planted new trees, and it's the second crop, basically, maybe even third in a lot of places. So this is the original timber from Michigan, the land of Michigan, you know, and he used that timber to create the image that he wants his lodge to be, and it's phenomenal. I mean, you're looking at a piece of wood that was cut from the land hundreds of years ago. You know, well, not hundreds, but over 100, about 100 or more years ago. This piece of wood was cut from, you know, the land. This was an original log from Michigan.
What's the name of the lodge again?
Wyandotte.
Wyandotte.
Like the city of Wyandotte down here.
They give you a continental breakfast?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
What they give
do.
You?
They do. What did they give us when
yeah,
we went?
Well,
no, we didn't get a breakfast. But when you stay there, it's like $29 a night or something like that, or 39 or 49. It's something $9 a night.
Okay.
And you get a room there. If you rent a cabin, one of the cabins, they've got five or six cabins. Well, they've got
$29 a night.
It's something somewhere around
it's so
there.
So cheap.
It's either $29, $39, or $49. It's something
like that. Even $49. Even top end, that's cheap.
And to see a ghost, possibly.
Yeah.
Just for the view, it's worth it. But if you happen to see the lady, the matriarch of the family that, you know, that cut that timber, or if you happen to see the guy in cabin six, why not, you know?
You got to pay extra for cabin six, probably, don't you?
He didn't say that, but cabins are $70 a night.
That's
for a whole cabin.
You know how cheap that is?
I'm talking, it's a cabin with, you know, with plumbing.
We paid
$100
a night. $100 a night at the Quality Inn in Cleveland last time we played there, for one room, one little dinky room. $100 a night.
Was it haunted or something? I mean, gee.
No, it's the opposite of haunted.
Well, probably smelly.
It needed to be haunted.
After Bubba and Rabbit from the band got in there, yeah.
And it was cabin six too. That's kind of crazy.
Oh,
that
six is a magic number.
I would have to see if they charge extra for that. Could you imagine the tourism?
Well, the thing is he found all this stuff out since acquiring the property, I think he said about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That, and then he started asking the people who would come up, because it was an operating lodge before this.
Yeah.
And people would rebook even though it was under new management, and so he started asking the people, what do you know about the history of this place? And he learned a lot, and then he actually went to the, you know, newspapers, he went to the city records and the county records, and he learned just tons and tons of information, including the, you know, documented proof of the murder, you know, because of the poker game that went sour. In like what, the 20s or 30s, they didn't tell you. Yeah, okay. But in cabin six, of course, we weren't allowed in the cabins because they were ready for a new group of people to come up for the weekend. But we took pictures from the outside and we poked our heads in a little, and it's definitely quite a place.
Well, the history alone.
Just history. Yeah. Talk about Michigan history, and just awesome stuff. And you know. One of our, because Ghostly Talk didn't always do interviews, you know, but we did that series of, what, four or five interviews?
We have more coming up.
And we have more coming up, yes. But was it the very first interview was Mark Russell Bell?
Uh-huh.
And Mark Russell Bell, what I remember, and he was phenomenal. If you haven't heard the archive yet, you've got to go to our site, ghostlytalk.com, and listen to the Mark Russell Bell interview. I know it's one of the few that I've been putting up. It is up there. And he talked about noticing these coincidences that happen in your life, right? There's all kinds of coincidences. And perhaps not everything coincidental like that, or perhaps there's a message or a meaning behind these coincidences that happen. And perhaps they're not then coincidences at all,
yeah.
Right? Well, we're up at this lodge. We talked with the lodge keeper guy. We had a blast. We saw this property. He told us all kinds of stuff. Jack, by the way, is his name. And we, it was just a great time. The very end, we were standing outside. We were pretty much ready to go, and something came up about the upper rooms, because it's a two-floor, you know, two-story lodge. And he's like, I didn't show you the upper rooms yet. Let's go in. I got to show you these upper rooms. So we go in, and as we're walking to the door to go upstairs, there's a table with all these pictures and all this documentation, right? Right there is a picture of George Mason. And, you know, of the Masons, mm-hmm. Right? And we, the Michigan Ghostbusters, because, you know, I not only do Ghostly Talk, but I'm also a co-founder of MichiganGhostbusters.com. We were extremely, extremely fortunate to get to go into the Masonic Temple in Detroit. It is huge, absolutely huge. It was designed and built by George Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard the history of the Masonic Temple, which is just this amazing building. I mean, it's so amazing. It's got the thing that absolutely drives me insane. I just totally love this. If I could move in, right, I would move in, because this place is, it's just simply, just, it blows your mind away. It's just so phenomenal. They have a room in there called the chapel.
It's a room?
It's a room called, everything in there is a room of some kind, right?
Yeah.
And it's a room called the chapel, and this chapel, and you got to picture me doing the quote-unquote thing, chapel, okay, is... It's a replica of the Winchester Cathedral. This room called the chapel is a cathedral within a building.
And do you put? I mean, is this a room as like the kind of room you put your bed in, or
no? This is the kind of room that you hold a wedding in. I mean, this thing is huge, and they do have weddings in there, by the way.
Yeah,
they do weddings in there, and you can rent that plus one of the ballrooms. Now, the ballrooms are obviously the most popular rooms in the Masonic Temple. Well, no, that's not true. I'm sorry. The most popular rooms, of course, are going to be the theaters.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where all the, you know, when the big theater productions come, they're either at Masonic Temple or the Fox.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, those are the popular ones. Well, the biggest theater in the Masonic Temple is actually bigger, more seats than the Fox, 4,400 seats. And so what happens is those are the popular ones. Then, of course, are the ballrooms, which you can rent for different events and things,
yeah.
like like during the auto show that happens in Detroit every January. During that, they rent out these ballrooms to you know these you know $1,000 a plate things that happen or to you know thank
like
you
charity benefits.
A lot of charity benefits and then thank you kinds of things for you know helping you know the do these
the
things.
Production of it all.
Yes, yes, good job. I'm at a loss for words. Well, I'm thinking of this place. These ballrooms are huge and absolutely gorgeous. Those are the second. But we got to go through a lot of the rooms, and one of the rooms is this cathedral. They actually have weddings in there. You can book your wedding for to be held in this cathedral. And I did ask, well, do you have to, like, have a family member who's a Mason? You know, that kind of thing? Because you're thinking, you know, the Masons are, you know, a fraternity kind of club.
Uh-huh.
And, no, that's, you don't. You know, you could be me or Will or, you know, you could be a normal person or whatever and not a Mason, not have family who's a Mason.
We're not normal, though.
Oh, that's right. Well, you can be as normal as it gets.
We're schizotypal.
Yeah, we're schizotypal, that's for sure. And you can rent this, and it's $600 to get this cathedral. I'm sorry, this chapel, which is a cathedral in a building. And then all the adjoining rooms, which of course are just absolutely elegant and humongous, and you know for the getting ready kind of thing, and you get that plus you get one of the ballrooms for your reception, and the reception
$600
for all that. Then of course you have to pay per plate for the meal because that's how it works.
They actually have that service.
Yeah, the $33 a plate is what it is.
I'm still going to Las Vegas, man.
Yeah?
Have Elvis marry me.
Elvis?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You take this man to be your lovely husband. You may not get the bride. Thank you very much.
We happened to tour the Masonic Temple in Detroit, which is just an absolutely phenomenal building. And then we go up north. How many, you know, four hours away or something, or three, four hours away drive, and there's a picture of George Mason sitting on this table. And I'm like, now, coincidence? I mean, that's a huge coincidence, I think, that I just happen to have been in one place, and then I drive, you know, completely in the other direction for hours, and there's this picture sitting there. And the reason is he had a lot to do with the development of the industry up there, you know, in that area of the logging and that kind of industry. And of course, as Jack is going through and finding out all this history, he's you know, piecing it all together, and he's putting all his documentation up so he can figure out what's going on, what do people want to know, what do people need to know about this area as far as historical purposes, and what also about his lodge, you know, and things like that. Mm-hmm. So he is finding a lot of interesting stuff out. Talk about coincidence. Also, we look over, and there's a picture of DuPont, was it, or Durant?
Durant.
Which, of course, is somebody we had contacted some of the Durant folks. That's the GM people.
Uh-huh.
And we had contacted some of those folks for some of what we had done last summer. And, I mean, just amazing stuff. All these coincidences sort of fell into our laps during this trip. And I'm like, this is too coincidental.
It means you're on the right track.
It means, yeah, it means we're at least, you know, in the right forest. Whether we're barking up the right tree, I don't know. But we are in the right forest. So we're definitely, you know, there's all these coincidences that happen. That's just something that blew my mind away because I was like, okay, this is too coincidental. Do you notice coincidences in your life like that, or do you not pay attention? Because I didn't pay attention for a long time.
I pay attention to everything, and yes, I do notice.
Yeah?
Yes, very much so.
I always manage to run into the same moron every day.
No, not your...
Not a coincidence?
That, sometimes. Either that or your stalker. Is that your stalker? Yes.
Not my stalker.
I pronounce the L in stalker.
Oh, yeah, we made fun of you about that the other night, too.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Yeah. Did you say stalker? That sounds like a vegetable, man.
Oh, did I? It was the word stalker, wasn't
stalker.
It? Yes, it was.
It sounds like a job on the farm.
Stalker.
Would you stalk these?
Well, Virginia, you're going to be a stalker today.
I got the ears off now. We need a stalker to come over here.
I'm telling you, that's how it's supposed to be pronounced, I thought.
I know. The thing is, Doug, is that you're noticing these things because, like you said,
well,
you're paying attention now.
Well, I used to pay attention, but now, ever since Mark Russell Bell, I've been paying even more attention. And it's really noticeable. Well, of course, you can't not pay attention to a picture of a guy. You know, I mean,
yeah.
This guy's picture is laying right there on the table saying, you know, this is George Mason. And I'm like, I just viewed I just went on a tour of the Masonic Temple in Detroit. Oh, my gosh, you know.
You know, I see the number 11 a lot, and I seen it actually probably 2 years before September 11th happened.
Yeah.
And when I got home and I had heard the broadcast over the radio station, I turned on the TV, and I swear to God, I was like, that's what I've been seeing. And to this day, I do see 11 a lot, whether it's looking at the clock, looking like at my sister's apartment. I looked across the street, and it was like the building was 11. I just see 11 everywhere, and it seems like I'm seeing 11 more and more and more. So whatever the meaning behind 11 is, it's getting to the point where I think I'm going to figure out why I'm seeing 11 so much, because it's coming up more
well,
and more.
Well, let's hope it's that you won $11 million in the lottery.
Well, you know what, too? When I go to the casino, I'll put like 20 bucks on 11 because I'm so confident in that number. But when I'm walking away from the table and I turn around, 11 always hits back to back. So I always tell my friends, okay, I'm walking away from the table. Can you play 11? Because that's usually when it comes
out. Yeah.
It's just crazy that
I know, just out of your reach. Just out of your fingers. It just can't grasp it.
I can't really think of anything in my life personally that really is a coincidence like that, where that I keep seeing over and over again. Or something where I'm like, for example, in your case, Doug, where you were just at the Masonic Temple.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
you're at
I'm up north in the middle of the woods and at a lodge, you know, and there's a picture of George Mason. How can you not notice that? But I noticed that I had to notice it. I think I was supposed to notice it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means. Just like with your 11s, I don't know what it means, but hopefully it's a good omen,
right,
kind of thing, you know.
I gotta start paying more attention.
Yeah.
I think I do.
Not when you're driving, though.
You know what?
Because when I notice when I pay attention when I'm driving, I tend to get really mad, you know, and I start swerving and trying to.
I get
people.
Really mad no matter what.
So,
you non Michigan residents out there do not know what I'm talking about, but if you lived here, you would know what I'm talking about. That's why I got off the phone earlier when I was talking to you guys.
Yeah.
You know, talking about coincidence and stuff, I was talking to a lady at my job about, we did a show on Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she had told me, she freaked out when I told her. She goes, I have a story. You know, I was trying to get her to call in, but she can't because she's on vacation. But I don't know why she couldn't call in, because they have phones everywhere.
Yeah.
But she had told me that she graduated from Pontiac High back in 1975.
That's in Pontiac, Michigan, right?
Yeah, Pontiac, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there on their class trip. And, you know, from Michigan to Bermuda, it's like, a couple-hour trip, a couple hours plane ride, would you say?
Oh, yeah,
to
Florida.
Bermuda,
from here to
Bermuda.
Depending on your layover, if you whatever. So it's a couple hours, a few hours.
Yeah, the actual in-air is going to be between probably two and a half to three and a half hours. If you have a layover, you have to add that to it. But yeah, I think that's about it.
So this is back.
You also have to figure in turbulence too.
Air bomb. But this is back in '75, like I said, and she said that there was a guy that she went to school with, and pretty much the whole trip he was fine. But once they got over the Bermuda Triangle, he started freaking out, and he went off on a fit of rage, and it took everybody on the plane basically to restrain this guy. So when they got to Bermuda, they checked him in the hospital, and there's basically nothing they could do for him there. So they, on the way back home, they made him take a flight above their flight because they didn't want him on a full flight because he was still acting kind of strange. And so he flew in a plane above their flight all the way back to Detroit. Well, after he got back home to Pontiac, he was caught walking down the street with two bloody barbells. And he was arrested. They went back to his house where he had lived with his grandparents, and he had brutally beat them to death with barbells. And that was probably about 2 hours after he got off the flight. So to this day, everybody that went to school with this kid believes that it was something about going over the Bermuda Triangle that made him go berserk.
Where is he now?
He's probably still in prison.
I hope so.
Yeah, that was a pretty freaked out story, talking about coincidence.
Yeah, because you had just, like, showed up one day. You're here, and so we said, oh, give her a mic. and we happened to be talking about Bermuda Triangle, and then you mention it at work,
and this
boom.
I mean, this lady is like, I know. I was
fascinating,
like,
story. Disgusting and sick story, but, you know, obviously something.
And I said, I go, well, was the kid on drugs or anything? She's like, well, not any more than, what, you know, a little reefer smoking, but, I mean, so
heroin
the kid.
Crack, no big deal.
So the kid was pretty normal for most part, but that's an eerie story, and they
that's
believe
really
it has something to do with going over the green.
So everybody in her graduating class, pretty much, who you know, was on that trip and stuff, is like, he flipped out over the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, they all believe that. And I was sitting there thinking about, you know, what would, you know, if that's considered the Devil's Triangle, what if that guy had, like, a kind of like an evil overcast over him all this time, and then by going over that area, it just kind of, like, made him...
Turned it on,
yeah.
Or amplified it.
But, and according to what she said, that it's not the first time that people have gone crazy over that area.
Well, I truly believe that I think everyone on this planet, no matter how normal we say we are, we have impulses, I would say primordial impulses in certain situations. But we've been trained, I would say, not, I don't want to say brainwashed, but we've been raised by our parents and by people in society to suppress these impulses. I don't want to go into detail.
Behavior,
it's a good example. But I do know that I don't think there's not one person on this planet that's not had an impulse such as maybe something that you're talking about, to do something like that, even to your grandparents. I'm not going to say I thought like that. Honestly,
I've never in a million years thought
you're an angel.
Well, no, that one day even you had
to
step back.
Well, the sky parted that day.
Yeah, that was something.
God
yeah.
put his hand down and said, okay, Doug, I'm going to give you the runners for about 5 minutes, okay?
you
got 5 minutes
five
to tear
minutes
this person apart.
Yeah.
Maybe people are just on that line to being human and animal, and they cross it. Like, they forget their humanly instinct.
Well, like you said, it could be the issue with going over that. That this could have been something suppressed in his subconscious for this whole time. Whatever motive he had to murder his grandparents.
It's like all of a sudden they wake up and say, okay, I'm an animal now and I can just kill.
Well, it's not really even a matter of being
because
an animal.
When you're in a safe, you know, when you're in a home, you know, you're protected from rain, you have food, you know, things like that. You don't...
not at my house, you don't have food.
Not like this weekend. We were not protected from rain. But, you know, but we were, you know, when you're in this kind of environment, you're not supposed to snap. I mean, it's just not normal to snap. You're supposed to be, all of those instincts, you're supposed to be more safe and secure. And
but people cross that line, and it's just a weird, it's like maybe it's something inside of us that we all have, but we know how to maintain it. But, I mean, when you get into it's the things with, like, serial killers and stuff and people who eat people. And it's just like, where is the line, you know what I'm saying? Like, it keeps you a human to an animal, you know?
Well, the thing is, for example, if I ask myself, could you, Doug, me, right, kill someone? Could I? Am I capable of that? I don't think so. I don't think I could do it even for country. I think
it depends on the motive, if you ask me.
If they handed me a gun and said, you know, you're going over to, you know, wherever our current enemy is, and you're going to shoot
whoever our current enemy.
Yeah. And you're going to shoot, yeah, and you're going to shoot some people for us because we, you know,
we all know that's
I could,
wrong thing to do.
I don't think I could even do that.
Yeah.
I think I must value life more than, you know, the current domination of the kings, you know, the current interests of the kings. The kings meaning, you know, the superpowers, the power that be, you know, whoever's your president or king or emir or whatever the heck they are, right?
But it depends on the motivators, though. If you're put in a situation outside of okay, here's a gun. We need you to go kill people for us. That's been planned out. There's a logistical channel involved with that also. But if you're put in a situation where you're walking down the street one day, and...
It's your life or...
Yeah, if you, but just say you're put in a situation like that where it's, you know...
Oh, self-protection? I could do that.
Because, I mean, if that's the thing is, that's where that primordial instinct will kick in. Survival.
That would happen. If it were survival, that kind of thing,
yeah.
Then yes.
I mean, for example, my snake is as tame as can be. My snake does not do anything. She says that you can hold her all you want. But if I were to threaten her in some way, such as actually rubbing something sharp down her back, she would feel that and she would attack me.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to, because it's me or her, if she smells something around her that she senses is her size that's moving, she's going to attack it. It's survival. It's also being hungry, too. It's survival in that situation. Same thing goes for us. If our life is threatened in a situation, the primordial instinct is going to kick in, and you are going to have to do what you have to do to survive, because that is a basic trait. That's not a human instinct. That's a planetary instinct, I guess I would say.
Well, it's survival instinct.
We have a call.
Okay.
We have a call.
Yeah, we got to move the microphone. Okay.
You're on Ghostly Talk. How can I help you?
Hey, Doug. Welcome back. It's Rich.
Hey, Rich. What's going on?
Oh, just listening to you guys talk.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can only call toll-free numbers until I get my phone fixed. Isn't that weird?
Oh, well, I'm glad we have one then. You know, we started talking about our trip, and somehow we then talked again about Bermuda Triangle, and then now we're talking about primordial instinct. So I think it's open lines. What's going on?
A little bit of everything. I think maybe part of your ghostly basement there is probably in the Bermuda Triangle somehow.
Well, there is an interconnectedness of all things.
Yeah, this is true.
So, I mean, you know, but there is also the thing, you know, with Murphy keep visiting, you know, he keeps coming over.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah, Murphy keeps coming over and visiting the haunted basement every so often. So we're thinking of renaming the haunted basement.
That sounds maybe like a good idea.
It's something like, you know, paradise or something like that.
But the other thing called O'Toole's Commentary to Murphy's Law.
Yeah?
Yeah, it just basically refines things a little bit.
What do you know the what is it? O'Toole's what did he say?
O'Toole's Commentary.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes along with Murphy's Law.
Cool. Well, I'll tell you. So what have you been doing lately? Because I know we missed several things. The past couple weeks have been totally upheaval.
No kidding.
What are you thinking of? What do you think's going on? You think everything's going to smooth out, hopefully?
I think things will smooth back out. I'm ready to do another cosmic cookie.
Yeah?
I think things will smooth out a bit. I think things are going to be a little different. But I think there's a lot of growth and stuff that's going on with different people. We're overcoming challenges, you know? And I think that's important, really.
Well, that's a lot of life. You know, life is definitely a lot of challenges that you've got to overcome. And there's a lot to do there, yes. And it's a lot of work, too. But I believe, myself, I believe in internet radio. I believe in me being able to sit here in my basement with Scott and with Karma and with Will. And with the telephone line, I believe in us being able to get out there and touch as many people as want to be touched and hopefully entertain as many people as want to be entertained.
I want to be touched.
Karma, that's later.
We'll be back in a second.
I like listening to Karma. She's definitely a great addition to your show.
Oh, I couldn't believe it when she agreed. I was absolutely amazed. I'm like, oh, this is totally going to work. It's awesome. I'm very, very honored to have Karma here.
Yeah, that's really cool. Karma, you make those guys behave.
You gotta make me behave.
Yeah, sometimes it works the other way around. But I believe in internet radio. I believe in our freedoms to do what we're doing. I believe in your freedom to do what your crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie and to get it out there and put a piece of yourself out to the world. I believe in that a lot, and I think it's going to still happen under maybe a different, website name and under different people working on it and things like that. You know, that kind of stuff changes. It changes inevitable in that way. But at the same time, I believe in this medium, and I'm going to do whatever I can to keep it going.
I totally agree, Doug.
That's what I'm about right now. Mm-hmm. Well, that and ghost hunting, because that's my hobby. So
yeah,
I don't think you and Scott working together on Ghostly Talks really makes a cool show, because it's like you interact so well with each other and so forth, and it seems to make a difference. But at the same time, I really like some of the stuff you bring up, the things you find on your ghost hunts, et cetera, and things you research for people that you talk to over there.
We definitely try, and that's another thing for us is learning and teaching, because we try to bring out in our show a reason to listen to us, because why would anybody sit and listen to us ramble on for 2 hours unless there was something to get out of it? So learning and teaching, the internet radio format, all of that means so much to me that I've got to, we're going to do everything we can do. And I've been enchanted. I've been enchanted by Crumbs from the Cosmic Cookie more often than I probably should admit, because your show, it's enchanting. It's dramatic. It's fun. And I missed it a couple weeks. But you should be out here too, and so we're gonna see what we can do.
Well, as soon as I'm scheduled, I'll have one put together. It only takes me about 6 to 10 hours to make it work.
Wow! It only takes 6 to 10 hours to make a whole crumbs. I have to say, what we'll do is I'm gonna be talking to Phobos at great length. I'll be talking to my contacts, my people, and everybody's people, and we'll see what we can do.
That's cool. Glad you're back.
So, thanks, Rich.
Hey, talk to you later.
Don't be a stranger.
Oh, hey, I won't be.
Cool. Have a good one.
Yeah, have another cookie.
Another cosmic cookie, please. Thank you. Talk to you, Rich.
Okay, you bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, we missed our break. Let's go to break. And think about that. Think about what means something to you. Think about the coincidences in your life. Think about what else are we talking about? The coincidences, things that mean something to you. Can you do the ultimate thing, and take somebody's life for any reason? Let us know. 1-888-520-1969.
Before I kill you.
Put that gun away.
Cool, catch up. All right. Bye. MrOlaf.com. see what you've been missing out
funny
on.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing. Services such as web and top 3 email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants
free
laughing.
Free streaming and downloadable videos.
MrOlaf.com. That's www.MROLAF.com.
Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round. I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf. So just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with a Humpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk be. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump me. I'm stepping hard, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm funky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this. Straight gangsta Mac. But sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I got you fat. Look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy. I'm a freak. I like the girls with the broom. I once got busy in a Burger King bathroom. I'm crazy. Allow me to amaze thee. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the girls' dance, and I even got my own dance. Come on, let's do the Humpty Hop. Check me out, y'all. Let's do the Humpty Hop. Just watch me do the Humpty Hop. Yeah. Do you know what I'm doing? Doing the Humpty Hop. Come on. Let's do the Humpty Hop. Do the Humpty Hop. People say you're Humpty. You're really funny looking. That's alright, because I get things cooking. You're fair, you're grand. You constantly try to compare me. But you can't get near me. I'm giving more a C and on the 4B. All the grams, they adore me. Oh yes, ladies, I'm really being sincere. Cause in the 69, my Humpty nose will tickle your rear. My nose is big. I'm not ashamed. Big like a pickle. I'm still getting paid. I get laid by the ladies. You know I'm in charge. Both how I'm living and my nose is large. I get stupid. I'm shooting arrow like Cupid. I use a word to tell me nothing. Like lucid. I sang on Do What You Like. And if you missed it, I'm the one who said, just grab them in the biscuit. Also told you that I like to bite. Well, yeah, I guess it's obvious. I also like to write. All you have to do is give Humpty a chance, and now I'm gonna do my dance.
The Humpty dance is your chance to do the hump.
Come on, yeah, take me away,
baby. Do the hump,
come on, I'll do the hump, the hump. Take me, baby. Everybody, come on and do the hump, the hump. I'll do you know what we're doing the hump, the hump, y'all. I'll do the hump, the hump. Watch me do the hump, the hump. Ah, yeah, that's the break, y'all. Look at that bass groove right here. Ah, yeah. Now that I told y'all a little bit about myself, let me tell you a little bit about this dance. It's real easy to do. Check it out. First I limped to the side like my leg was broken. Shaking and twisting, kind of like I was smoking. Crazy, wax, funky. People say you look like MC Hammer on crack, Humpty. That's alright, cause my body's in motion. It's supposed to look like a bitter or convulsion. Anyone can play this game. This is my dance, y'all. Humpty Hump's my name. No two people will do it the same. You got it down when you appear to be in pain. Humping, funking, jumping, jig around, shaking your rump. And when a doodle jump, punk points the finger like a sun. Tell him, step off, I'm doing the hump.
The Humpty dance is your chance to do the hump.
Come on, I do the Humpty Hop. Look at me, baby.
I do the Humpty Hop.
I'm doing the Humpty Hop. I'm doing the Humpty Hop. I'm doing the Humpty Hop, y'all.
Watch me do the Humpty Hop.
I do the Humpty Hop.
Yeah.
Black people, I do the Humpty Hop.
I do the Humpty Hop.
Come on, white people, I do the Humpty Hop. underground is in the house. I'd like to send a shout out to the whole world. Keep on doing the Humpty Dance. And to all the ladies, peace and humptiness forever. And this is
Ghostly Talk. Oh my god, that was so bad.
Oh my god, it was so bad.
Production value.
Production value.
-4.
-4.
Now. Stop it!
Stop it!
He's looking at my window.
He's looking at my window. I'm gonna get punched any second. All you're gonna hear is a boom.
All right. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
How y'all doing tonight? Yeah! Woo! I'm Scott L.
And that's Scott L.
And Karma here.
And of course, Karma's in the house. Guess what? We have Phobos on the phone.
Hello.
Hey, Phobos.
We're going to make him a Superman t-shirt. Instead of the S, we're going to put a P in there.
Oh, yeah. Super Phobos.
Super Phobos.
So,
yes.
Yeah? Tell me about it.
We had fun this weekend. Phobos called my cell phone. Now, that was cool.
Oh, man. No, that rocked.
That was a fun. That was like the funnest cell phone conversation I've had in a long time. Thanks, Phobos.
Well, yeah. That'd be your first international call on your mobile, huh?
Yeah, totally. You know what? It was.
Oh, now that rocks.
I'm afraid to do it. That's why I asked you to call me. I'm afraid if I actually called you, my phone would probably like self-combust or something. I don't know if it could handle something like that, honestly.
It would say, like, distance limit exceeded, you know, play golf instead.
play Tiger Woods Pro Golf.
It'll bring up Tiger Woods Pro Golf instead. You'll have to play that.
What's up, Phobos?
Oh, you know, the real value of internet radio and any form of radio is that it draws on your imagination, draws pictures in your mind. I mean, you take the start of today's Ghostly Talk. I mean, there was Scott L. on the phone, and there we are, imagining him running up the stairs and building and all the things you're naturally doing, of course.
Well, yeah, you hit the nail right on the head there, because I did forget the mic today, like a moron. Right, guys?
Yep.
Right.
Pretty much.
Okay, thank
you.
That's
about it. All right,
so
we have to deal with that every... Never mind. Okay, go ahead.
I did forget the mic, and I, like you just said, the imagination. I got to my house, and I thought, hey, it'll be kind of neat. I'm going to call in, and I'll just remote for a few minutes until I get there. And then I can still be there, somewhat. And it'll be funny. It'll be really funny, you know, so...
They're going to be wondering, like,
take a mistake and turn it into a creative output. And that's what we do here. What we really needed was,
if you had something like the theme tune from Dick Barton's Special Agent in the background.
Like you were out on assignment and stuff like that. Yeah. But that was...
Recon.
Yeah, but that was definitely, a new thing for Ghostly Talk. And we brought it somewhat live to people, which is just amazing what has to happen for live radio, you know?
But radio does that, though, too. I mean, look at all the old 50s radio shows. which are my favorites. All the old horror radio shows, all the old Halloween radio shows, all the old drama radio shows, where all you have in front of you is a radio and sounds, and you have to make the rest of it up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is amazing, because you hear these sounds, and now you're trying to picture the wind, which actually is a piece of sheet metal that's mic'd up in the studio.
And walking was like a box of rocks and some shoes.
Exactly. They use these simple things, but they turn it into creative output, and they made your mind go wild.
And that's where you start thinking, and you're actually using your creativity and your brain, and it's bringing it, you know, right into your head just through sound. I mean, that's a big challenge.
Yes, it is.
And to do that every week is even a bigger challenge. And Follows, I understand you're going to start trying to do this all the time. You're going to relay whatever it is we want to relay, right?
That's right.
Goodness.
We're running on the one relay at the moment. We've got another relay ready to go, but it's not worth trying to put the two together right now because you always get a bit of interference when you're bringing something new in on there. We'll have the two there. We've got more bandwidth coming along. And between us and the others that we've got around, I think we can do it. I think we can do it well.
Did you, because I know when you're streaming a show, you're really busy doing all kinds of like 8 million things, and I picture you, you know, doing virtual levers within a computer and switches and bringing mains up and stuff like that. But what I'm wondering is, did you happen to hear that first half hour of, was it the first half hour of Ghostly Talk, where the folks from Ground Zero, the band,
the
Hell Candidates, they called it, the one called in and says, why don't we do some kind of benefit kind of thing? It would promote, you know, obviously them and Ground Zero and Ghostly Talk, but also the internet radio.
Yeah, we'll do the whole thing.
It'll promote the whole genre of everything that we're doing. And what did you think of that?
Anything which you can get, it's really publicity that would be the most useful thing, because what we're after is listeners more than sort of distributions. We're all providing our services and pooling together, and it's really, really nice that people from even outside of the little band that we are keen to try and promote what we do. I mean, that's great. I really think that's, it's very much appreciated that people want us to go on, and we'll give it our push. Why not?
Yeah,
I think so. And they're actually just, you know, they would be like cousins, I think, the Hell Candidates. Because they're in you know, the little family that is the hosts on whatever network this will be called, because Ground Zero is there and Clyde is, you know, part of what we're doing, and they are then part of what Clyde does. So and part of Ground Zero, because they did the, you know, the theme, the Ground Zero song.
Yeah.
So they're part of that, you know, part of our family. So it's really, really cool how everybody's really pulling together. I know that there's interesting things going on with the feeds as of right now, and that we're working on it. Speaking of which, I'm going to put this archive up tonight, so people will be able to download it tonight.
But that's the good news, anyway. We've got 24-hour relaying, so if people do have trouble first time through, we're going to be increasing bandwidth, but there will be 24 hours, multiple repeats, and we will give people plenty of opportunities to hear them.
Exactly.
No, it's not the end of the world. Is it? Quite
no,
right.
I said this already. This is a new beginning.
It is.
And what's going to happen is the people that are taking over right now, I know for a fact, are brilliant minds. And I know this is going to work out excellent.
I'm positive.
Excellent.
I'm positive. Oh, you didn't do the cackle after it.
Ah,
fabulous.
See, I picture Phobos in the lab right now with a white coat on, with his little assistant, about 2 foot tall assistant, and I see thunder and lightning outside. And he's in this giant English castle, and he's just down there.
The assistant used to be 6 foot tall, but there was that experiment the other week.
Excellent.
Hey, this is beginning to sound like that Mystery Science Theater 3000 show.
Yes, it is.
I see a thong, too.
Oh,
man. What would it take to get Phobos into a thong?
Well, what would it
take? No, no, the idea was a female, wasn't it? Like,
I know, we can't get any. It's a problem. I know. We keep trying and trying, and we can't get a female to get into our thong, so.
So we're going to take a promo picture with all of us in thongs.
This ought to be hilarious.
Yeah.
But the,
You're the one that pushed me. Now, don't look at me like that.
Right. No, he didn't say
what
yes.
The hell? Why not?
He said no, as a matter of fact.
Get a case of Paps and do it. about 12 of those guys, I'll do anything for you.
Okay, Phobos, what's the absolute lowest of the low of English beers over there?
I don't drink beer.
Oh, okay.
But, actually, you know, oh, cracky. I would say that it's the other way around. The ones which seem to be the popular ones are the ones which are not really so well known, the ones that are made in smaller numbers by small family groups and so on. So if you take that logic, I suppose the ones which are sold the most are, apart from the really quality ones like the Guinness and so on, then I guess really a lot of the popular, you know, commonly ones are really not that good.
Somehow that just did not follow what I was trying to get at.
It's probably the ones that just say beer on them.
Yeah,
that
is like
stuff,
generic
man.
Beer.
Well, I'm not beer expert.
But, you know, that's the thing. You take, like, the cheapest, most, you know, blah beer, tank up, put on a thong, take a picture, you know. That's going to be, like, the idea.
That sounds like a fun Saturday night to me.
But hopefully a minute of Saturday night. I am not going to be in a thong for more than a minute, but or else I might start scaring people. But the
that's what you want to do.
Oh, okay. I'll reorganize my thoughts.
The PR work here is just amazing.
It's ridiculous, is what it is. But Phobos, what does it take just to get a picture of you? Even not in a thong, even in
a be arranged. That can be arranged.
Yeah, because
I don't seem to appear in many photographs these days, but that can be arranged.
Nobody Phobos. Has any idea what Phobos looks like.
I want to see what you look like.
I just saw Fox go past. I'd let the world know, you know, it's one of these important things.
Man, Phobos, he's just slick like that. He just slides around. He he disappears from pictures. You're a vampire, aren't you?
Yeah, oh, that's a good question. Can you be photographed? Do you show up in mirrors?
I used to work for the mirror. Does that count?
Okay, there we go. Okay,
right.
So you can be
photographed. I'm teasing. It's the mirror is the name of the newspaper in the UK. But
yeah.
Yes, a photograph will be arranged. And a genuine this time, not one that was actually a picture from the internet.
I remember that. Somebody forwarded me that link, and I was like, ah! No, that ain't Phobos, I can tell.
It's from the goat thing.
Well, it had a tie on.
It what?
It was wearing a nice tie like Scott's picture. You know?
Well, that's true, that's true.
Yeah.
But it was a hideous photo.
Scott, you had a tie on?
No, I'm not wearing a tie, but...
No, Mr. Phobos.
Go back a little while. I think Scott painted a mental picture.
Yeah, I really went nuts.
Bow tie, actually.
Yeah.
Well, that's my picture, but yeah, you don't wear bow ties, though, do you? No, not no more?
No, no more. I've never worn boys.
Okay,
all right.
I've worn I wear ties. I wear ties, though. You give me a look like I have three heads, Karma. He's a big rocker dude with a, you know, just, no, I wear ties. I have to.
Well, Tino Marino wears ties.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is, do I?
That's the guy. That's the singer of the Deftones.
Oh, the Deftones, yes. Oh, yes, he does.
He wears, like, a full suit.
Yes, he does.
When does he do that?
Almost every show.
Who's the fellow who sang Burning Down the House and he wears ties as well. He wears full suits. Burning Down the House, Take Me to the River.
Phobos, help us here.
I was just wondering.
Okay.
You haven't said too much about your trip.
Well,
I know it's kind of. I mean, she's kind of got shot to hell here today. I mean, between the phone calls, which are cool, we like the phone calls, of course. And just, I don't know, we just kind of just been bouncing around today. It's been one of those kind of like, these guys just got home about an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, we
well,
did.
An hour and a half before the show went on.
Literally, we pulled up, Scott had called on the cell phones, and he's like, where are you? And we were like in Flint, which is like an hour and a half away. We're like, we're in Flint. And then, so literally we were like pulling in, we just crossed into my city. And Scott calls again, and he's like, where are you? And we're like, well, we're in Fraser now, so we'll be there shortly. And he was seriously, and I'm like, dead, like, this is it. He was sitting on my front porch.
Eating Subway.
Eating Subway, waiting for us to get home.
That sounds so good.
So that's how close the trip was to Ghostly Talk.
Yeah.
Was he was waiting for us to in order to get in and
the only reason I was getting mad is because I was getting tired of eating with the bugs. I just wanted to get in the house and sit at the table and eat and get a diet Pepsi in me.
So we really did just pull in, set up the studio and do Ghostly Talk. We really did. That's how it really worked.
So
I get the impression really that probably you want to go into deep depth on it next week.
I think so.
We're gonna have
to. That's the other thing is, you know, all the pictures are still in the cameras. They're not downloaded. You know, things like that, and all of our stuff.
Did you guys take any audio at all?
Did not.
Lame.
I know. I said, Will, when we go out to Percini, we're going to, you know, the second night, or that was last night, we're going to have to dig out your recorder. Do you have it? And he's like, yes, I have it. And I said, well, I brought a microphone.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me, I had a hiccup. And so I said, I have a microphone, so we're going to do this, right? And we didn't do it. We got too involved. Speaking of which, let me tell that story. Phobos, can we do Ask Phobos next week? Because we have two questions for you.
Okay.
Two that we know of.
Keep me trembling till next week.
I haven't even read them. I was just informed that we have two questions for Stump Phobos. So I haven't read them yet. I know nothing about them other than I think we have two of them.
So, keep trembling.
Talking heads. That
burning down the house.
Yeah.
Geez, who was the singer's name?
Oh, don't ask me that.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking the world.
Yeah. Scott.
Tell me the name of the guy.
StagehandTools.com is who brought that up.
Yeah.
So, Phobos, I'm going to let you go. We're going to do Stump Phobos, a double Stump Phobos next week. Is that cool?
That's fine.
Excellent, man.
So, but we're going to let you go now so I can finish my story.
We'll talk to you next
week. Okay, I'll speak with you next week.
I'm going to talk with you in the chat room afterwards. So. but yeah, we'll do Stump Phobos after, you know, next week we'll do a double.
Okay.
How's that? Thanks, Phobos. We'll talk to you.
Take care of yourself, Phobos.
Bye there.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let me tell the story. All right. So we did the Wyandotte Lodge. You know, we had a blast, and we arranged for the lodge keeper Jack to meet us at Percheny Cemetery the following night. So the following day, though, we went out, we scoped out the cemetery, and looked around a little bit. We knew how to get there, things like that. We went back.
Yeah.
You know who was supposed to show up but didn't?
I'm in trouble. Oh, am I in trouble? I'm going to get the crap kicked out of me after this show.
I was just...
Is that your phone, Scott?
It's not my phone.
It must be some other phone.
David Byrne.
Not my phone.
It's the jerk alert.
David Byrne is the lead singer of Talking Heads.
Thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, you know who didn't show up who was supposed to?
Who?
Kyle. Not kidding.
Kyle, you are such my bitch. You know that? I'm sorry.
So much for the family show.
It's the name Kyle.
Yeah.
Doesn't Kyle on South Park always get killed?
Oh, no, Kenny.
Kenny. Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Kenny.
I'm just a dumb girl.
Okay, you got to clip that out. Use that in a commercial,
you have
okay?
Cooties.
Yeah.
Cooties. Girls are icky.
Yeah. So anyway, he didn't show up. We waited for him one night and he didn't show up. But we the next day we did go to and I think he would have had fun because the next day we did go to the Percheny Cemetery. We scoped it out. We wandered through woods. Oh my gosh. Well, I didn't wander too far, but Lisa and Will and Bonnie wandered quite a bit. That was during the day.
Were you scared, Doug?
I wasn't scared, no. I was getting eaten alive by bugs and stuff, and it was like sub-zero.
Oh, yeah, West Nile now.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm going to be out of it for a week, unless I'm old. I know I'm old, but unless I'm old enough for it to get me, you know.
No, you'll just twitch a little.
Yeah.
Welcome to Doug's Big Talk. My name is Doug.
It's Doug.
So I'm like, okay, that's enough of that. I'm going to go back out to the cemetery. So I went out to the cemetery, and I scoped it. And then we went back at night. Well, then we went back to the campground, or not campground, to the to our camp, and we, all right, this is Ghost Hunters on a camping trip, okay? We cooked steaks and bratwurst.
Sounds so good right now.
We had steak and bratwurst.
I ate a vegetarian sub, so yeah. Meat sounds so wonderful right now.
It was a trip. I mean, this is like camping in style. That's all I can say.
Steaks and
were they beer brats?
It was half and half. Half was beer brats, and then the other half was not beer brats. So we had both.
I would have
one
of each.
I had one of each.
Oh, yeah, two of each. You kidding me?
I'm so hungry right now. I could probably eat my toenails if I wanted to. I'm just kidding.
Are they still painted?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
I would get lead poisoning from that then.
Something.
So, yeah. Anyway, so that's Ghost Hunters on a trip.
Yeah.
We ate at McDonald's most of the time. So we had, then when we finally cooked, we cooked steaks and bratwurst. I mean, does that rock or
that's
what?
That's beautiful.
We had awesome. And then at night, we went out to the Parachaney Cemetery, and it was happening. Everybody showed up. And evidently, I didn't know this, but evidently it's quite a party place.
Oh
for the local kids and stuff?
Quite a party place. And that kind of put a damper on the actual ghost hunting part.
Yeah, because they probably scared them away.
Yeah, so we're on the cell phone, we're like, you know, talking to Jack, and we're like, you know, hey, you know, we're coming, and he's like, where are you? And we're like, do you see headlights? That's us. And they're like, oh, there you are. And because they had gotten there before us, and they were worried that we weren't going to show up, but we did.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, pull up and everything like that. And then all of a sudden, up comes this truck, and it pulls in and parks. Out of it come two soldiers in full combat gear. And we're like, oh, my gosh, are we in for it now? Because, you know, we've had police and stuff show up in the past.
Yeah.
And usually they're, you know, oh, that's, you know, pretty cool, you know, or not on my shift, you know, get out and come back at 2, or, you know, things like that.
Uh-huh.
And but, you know, when they see we don't have cans of spray paint and beer, you know, we have, you know, cameras and divining rods and recording equipment.
Your credentials.
Yeah, when we have all this stuff, they're like, okay, these aren't kids out to party and demolish things. These are serious researchers, and, you know, so they'll make a judgment call, either, okay, another half hour, or no, come back when I'm not on duty,
yeah.
You know, something like that. And that's what usually happens. And
what was up with the military guys?
So these two military guys come out. They get out of the truck, and we're like, oh, are we in for it now? And I'm thinking, okay, is this part of some kind, you know, because there's Camp Grayling up there, which is a big military base, and then there's all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, now we've done it, right? Well, it turns out one of the fellows, his brother-in-law was it, had told him about Parachaney. He did a report for was it for a school project or something when he was in school? He had done a report on Parachaney, the town, the cemetery, the area, and so he had done a report. So he was serious in seeing Parachaney and trying to find the actual location of the actual town, because the town obviously was not right near the cemetery, because, you know, if it was, you know, right adjacent to the cemetery, that's a ridiculous place to put a town, you know, especially back then, because they weren't as good as, you know, doing those hermetically sealed coffins and things like they have now, so things would get into the groundwater and stuff like that. And it's a big mess, but it's
gross.
All, yeah, it's all gross stuff, and there were reasons why cemeteries were not, were near towns, but not, you know, within towns or too close, because they wanted that stuff away from them, right? So they wanted to be able to visit, but they didn't want to have to live there, right?
Right.
So there was a reason that the towns were not, you know, right adjacent to cemeteries. And so what happens is he was interested, and he had heard from his brother-in-law that there was an indication of where the actual town was, but they came up, they wanted to check out the cemetery first and, you know, get the lay of the land and stuff like that. and he had not been there at night previous to this, so he wanted to check it out at night. And so all of us wandered around. They wandered off in, you know, the two soldiers wandered off in their own direction because they wanted to see what was going on. And it looked, you know, pretty cool. They were really serious. I mean, this guy had written a report on Per Chaney. So it was important to him to be able to check it out at night. And this happened to be the night of a full moon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Spooky.
And so it was really cool that, you know, they showed up. We were there. While we were there, a whole bunch of kids, though, showed up.
A van
full of kids.
The best way to get rid of those kids
yeah.
is to call the cops.
Well, it turns out we thought, well, we're not, you know, we're here for the ghost hunting, of course, but, you know, we were to the cemetery earlier and stuff like that. We're just going to go start looking for the town.
Yeah.
So we all hopped into our trucks, and because there was Jack in his truck, and there was the... us in our truck, and we wandered along the streets because we had some maps and things, and we had come up with some possible locations. We wanted to look for fields or things that looked like maybe there was a road there, and we knew it had to be near the railroad because there was a railroad track there. So we were looking, and we looked and looked and looked, and we ran across a humongous spider. It was about this big. And
okay, in radio dialect, what is that?
It's about as big as your head. The one on your shoulders, of course.
Yes. Will took pictures of this spider, so we'll be able to try and judge. But it was a huge spider, and it was waiting for us. It wanted to wrap me in a cocoon and then suck out my juices, which is what all spiders want.
Was it smoking a cigarette?
It was waiting. It had headphones on. It was
you wearing like a red bandana and stuff.
And and so we found that we it was just a trip, right? Well, then Jack had to take off. So he takes off. Oh, hang on one sec. It was Jack and Lori.
Okay.
They were there and they had to go.
Right.
So they took off. Lori, by the way, lives near here.
Really? She
lives down here in Macomb County, Michigan. So we're going to try and hook up with her and go ghost hunting and stuff.
Sounds
with her.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. So anyway, they had to go, so they took off. We're like, okay, well, we're going to go back to the cemetery, okay? Because the you know, we'll see if the kids are still there. If they're gone, we'll do some more ghost hunting. So we're driving back to the cemetery and it's all like two track roads and stuff like that, little tiny roads that you can't. It's hard to get around people without going out into the grass and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well. The truck with the two soldier guys in it, it pulls up, right? And so, like, we're aiming at each other. And they whip around we were in, like, an SUV.
Mm-hmm.
So it whips around the SUV and pulls on this little tiny trail kind of thing. And they get out, and so we talk to them. You know, we're like, hey, what's up? You know, are the kids still there? This kind of stuff. You know, what happened? Did you see anything? And we told them, you know, what we had seen and what we had done and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then they go, well, we're going to go try and find the actual town, the remnants of the actual town of Per Chaney. Because he had an idea from his brother-in-law, the one guy had an idea from his brother-in-law where it was. Guess what?
Hmm.
We found it.
Really?
Because I said, Pete, because we were, you know, Pete was driving. Pete, ask him if we can tag along. You know, I mean, I'm a ghost hunter.
Right,
I wanna.
Yeah.
And so.
They're countrymen. They have to do. They're there to serve you anyway.
Yeah. So we're like, hey, can we tag along? And they're like, sure, come on. So we all tag along. And
let me guess, you guys get to the spot and you run out. You're like, I found it first.
Not quite like that. It was. Yeah, Pete did. Yeah, Pete's like, oh my gosh, what's this? And so we all converged on this hole in the ground, which had burnt wood, which is significant because one of the things they did was burn the town down,
mm-hmm.
right, because of the diphtheria epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Broken pieces of pottery and things like that.
Did you guys snag some of that stuff?
No, you're not.
You don't do that.
See, we're scared of the diphtheria.
Well, that's just an incentive
secondary.
Not to do it right
yeah.
there.
No, that's secondary because as ground hunters, we have to respect
the
grounds and the things.
So let me tell you my story about the Iron Maiden poster. I don't want to get into that.
Oh, and now
did you get slapped with it on the way home or something?
No, I'm still crying.
And now Savage House is gone.
Yeah, that's. Oh, I think it's gone in the midst of time. It's probably just shredded.
But it's in your head, so you know you did the right thing.
Circa 1984, classic piece. Anyway,
yeah,
sorry.
You know you did the right thing. So we did find Per Chaney, the remnants of the town. We're not going to tell anybody where it is.
No, you shouldn't tell anybody where it is. Last time we told somebody where somewhere was at, the place got trashed.
Yeah.
So it's not going to happen this time.
We are not telling anybody where it is.
Sorry.
You know, ask the two soldiers. Because we're not telling.
No, nobody should know. That should be noted, though.
But mm-hmm. what was in that area? Was there like any foundations or
Well, there's foundations and stuff, but mostly what you can tell is where the holes are, is where buildings were and stuff like that.
They were all burnt down.
That were burnt down. Now it just looks like a field if you look at it, but if you walk through it, you'll fall into a hole. Believe me. Every one of us practically fell into a hole.
We'll
call them ankle. No, I fall in ditches.
Ditches, holes.
But I did indeed have to watch really close. And at one point, Lisa said to me, "Doug, if you take one more step, you're going to fall into a hole." And I'm like, "Okay, then I'm not going to take another step. I'm going to back off.
I'm just going to stand here for the rest of my life.
I'm going to reroute." So I had to reroute. But, yeah, Will called one of the holes an ankle breaker. Because he stepped into a little depression. And he's like, "Oh, that one's an ankle breaker," you know, because it's where the town was. And now, you know, grass has grown over it and stuff like that. But to look at the place where it was, it just looks like any old field, you know. Yeah, Lisa did. You know, have an incident, but it wasn't bad. I mean, it was all, you know, in the name of research. And Lisa's the one who organized that whole trip, and she wanted to find Per Chaney really, really badly. And you know, and this is a great way to close the show, because we can't talk about it for another hour because Ghostly Talk goes off the air in a few minutes. But think about the coincidences again. We talked about it earlier about coincidences.
Mm.
Here's a humongous coincidence.
We have a phone call.
We're not taking it.
We're
too late.
Sorry.
You'll have to call back.
It might be my mom.
Oh, we can't go long though. So what happens?
It's done anyways. Oh, here it goes again.
So what happens is, think about the coincidences.
Yeah.
What a coincidence that we're looking for this town, and we happen to run into these soldiers who immediately we feared, because
I thought,
oh, no, maybe the military.
They think we're terrorists. Oh, my God.
You know, what if there's, like, UFOs going to come here and stuff, you know, and it's a big cover-up.
There's helicopters flying over.
Black helicopters. Yeah. and I'm thinking, oh, this is so bad. And yet it turns out it happens to be another person interested in Per Chaney, interested in history, interested in, you know, the cemetery and the town and things like that, who happened to hear from his brother-in-law where the remnants are located and wanted to check it out that night of all nights, the night that we were there. And we were out and about driving. We had left them at the cemetery to do their own thing because it's, you know, respectful and what they wanted to do. We had left them, gone to do our own thing. We were going back and happened to go and run, you know,
pass again
and say, "Can we tag along?" And then, you know, bing, the Holy Grail.
It was meant to be.
It was. It had to have been. Think about those coincidences.
Strange.
We're done. This has been
Ghostly Talk
number 8 million or something.
Short 2 hours. Short.
Yeah, it was a fast 2 hours.
I missed the first 15 minutes.
No, you're on the phone with us.
So. This is a short hour and 45 minutes.
I was going to ask you if you had a late pass.
Yeah, we're going to have to set up a system.
So am I going to get Doc to pay for that?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Damn.
So, you guys, I have to say thanks for listening to us for the hours. Think about your coincidences.
Yeah,
think about the meaning of life. What does life mean to you? Because we want to start meaningful discussions about that, too.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Chill, kick back. The entertainment is still going to be here. This has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
Karma.
And I'm Karma.
And I'm Karma.
And I'm Karma.
I am Karma.
There you go.
And we'll see you next week.
Take care.
7 Eastern.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from the Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.